Well, welcome to Catalyst at Home. We are so glad you are joining us. Happy Valentine's Day. Come on. Happy day of love. If you are with your spouse or significant other and you completely forgot that it was Valentine's Day, this is news to you. You may now quietly escort yourself out of the room to go make a homemade card or go get a gift somewhere. But we're glad that you're joining us, spending part of your day here with us. For Catalyst at Home Church. It's a big Sunday. One, it is Valentine's Day, but also our community groups, as well as our Faith and Life courses are now online. You can sign up today. Like even right now, just go ahead and swipe out, or if you're watching on your television, pick up your phone, go to our website, yourcatalystchurch.com, click on the groups tab, join a group, find your group. We have groups regardless of your season of life, whether you're young adult, you're married, no kids, you have maybe too many kids. Come on, somebody. You have maybe empty nesters, or maybe whether you're single, whatever season of life you find yourself in. There's a group for you. And also we have online groups. We also have some in-person groups. We also have a groups that are doing a hybrid, whether in-person and as well as online. We have Bible studies and book studies. We have activity groups, lots of different types of groups for you to get connected into. And our Faith and Life courses, we have a course that's going to be kind of foundations of our faith, sort of Christianity 101. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? We have one that's talking about how do we get financial freedom in our life, looking at God's word for guidance. We have a newlywed course. We have a faith and work course. Lots of different options for you to be available. I would encourage you, go on, sign up for several, get involved, build some relationships this spring, learn, grow in your faith. It's going to be a great, great spring semester for our community groups, Faith and Life courses. I want to say a special thank you to all of our hosts, our group hosts, as well as our Faith and Life teachers. They've been preparing, praying, and they look forward to meeting you soon. We have this week, next Sunday actually, is our kickoff Sunday. That's when our groups and courses will start that following week. So make sure you sign up for that. Also next Sunday, come on. We are having our birthday drive-through celebration. We initially we're planning to have it on the 31st of January, but as you know, we had snow on that Sunday. So we rescheduled it. So next Sunday, come out. Come on. We're going to party like it's our birthday, even though it's 3 weeks late. We're still going to party. We're going to have some fresh merchandise, hoodies, beanies for Catalyst Church. We're also going to have, we also have a kids hoodie for all of our kids out there. We're going to have a gift, a special gift for everyone. We're going to give you as you come. We'll also have some sweet treats. We have some specially designed sweet treat. For our birthday celebration. We're supporting some local businesses as well through our merchandise and the sweet treats. So come out, come support some local businesses. Come to, let's celebrate as a church family together. Come see some of your church family. And then also we are collecting some non-perishable goods for Interfaith Works who are going to distribute those to families in need in this season. So if you go on our website, under events, or you can text the word birthday to 94,000. You can RSVP. We are asking everyone to RSVP for the drive-thru so we can make sure we have enough of everything. You'll see a list of all the items we're collecting. But come celebrate with us next Sunday, the 21st, if you're in town. Between 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock, you can drive through any time. But I'm excited to dive in today. We are in the final installment of our Restore series. We've been in 7 weeks of this series. I hope you've been getting something out of it. If you missed any Sundays, you can go to our YouTube channel and catch up, or our podcast to catch up on any messages that you missed. But I'm excited to close it out today. You know, this past several weeks, we have had some snow. Hopefully you have enjoyed some of the snow. I know our kids did a little bit of sledding, also some snowball fighting, yes. And our youngest actually also, she enjoyed eating some snow. So pray for us. But we enjoyed the snow. But I was reminded as I was thinking of the snow, when I first got my license, come on, I'm taking myself back now. When I first got my license, I'll never forget the first snow that I ever drove out in. And I remember I was a little bit overconfident. I was kind of excited, like, come on. As a kid, I like sledding in the snow. Maybe I like driving in the snow. And there was this like hill near our house that kind of went into town. and it was kind of a windy hill. And I was like, I was courageous enough, maybe stupid enough to go down that hill. And what I noticed was all of a sudden, kind of a few kind of feet down the hill, my wheels lock up, I lose control. And thankfully, I go into this kind of snowdrift. My car gets stuck. I try to get myself out. I cannot. Ended up, police drove by. They assisted me. I had to call my mom, get her to get a tow truck to come that towed me back to the house. But as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how I was stuck in the snow and how even though in my best efforts that I could try, I needed some help to get unstuck. And here's what I found in life. Sometimes in life that we can feel stuck. We can feel stuck maybe in some bad habits, things that we, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7, that we do that we wish we didn't do. We can feel stuck in maybe anxiety, social anxiety. We can feel stuck relationally, maybe some past relational hurts. We feel like it's kind of kept us stuck. We can feel stuck in unforgiveness. We can feel stuck maybe in a number of different areas of our life. Maybe there's an area of habitual sin that you keep kind of finding yourself falling back into and falling back into, maybe even feeling stuck in your faith. And here's what I know that as we look at scripture, that when we find ourselves in moments where we feel stuck, that we need help in getting unstuck. And God's word gives us guidance on how we can get unstuck, how we can experience freedom. Because here's why. Listen, just like when I was stuck in the snow, the more that I tried to get unstuck in and of myself, the deeper stuck I became. Because I was kicking up more snow, getting caught in more mud. And the same is true for your life. And there are some of you're tuning in. There are areas of your life, maybe it's anxiety. You've been trying for years to get unstuck, of fear gripping you, but you still find yourself stuck. You've tried in your best efforts maybe to get free of that, from that habitual sin or that area of your life that you keep falling back into. And you find yourself getting further and further stuck. Maybe it's in the area of unforgiveness. You've tried time in, time out again to forgive someone, get past some bitterness, but you find yourself stuck. I'm believing today is going to encourage you. I'm believing today, not because of me, but because of God's word and his spirit, that today can be a life-changing day for you for God's word to encourage you, God's word to inspire you to take a step in the area of restoring freedom. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today. We thank you, your words, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray as we open up your word that you would speak to us. I pray that you would speak through my words today, God. Lord, we thank you, God. We posture our hearts and minds to receive from you. It is in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, speaking of Jesus, I'm excited. Next Sunday, we're kicking off a brand new series called Follower, Practicing the Ways of Jesus. We're just going to lead us all the way up to Easter. We'll be sharing some more exciting information about some things happening in the life of our church this spring. So you're going to want to tune in each week to the series Follower. We'll be sharing some exciting news of what's happening in the life of our church during that series. But next week, we're kicking off the series Follower. So make sure you tune in for that. It's going to be a great, great series. We lean into the life of Jesus and what we can learn and glean so we can experience all that he has for us. But with that said, I want to share with us first three truths. In fact, from the words of Jesus about freedom and about being stuck. And here's what I want to share with you. Here's the first truth. And I want you to take hold of these truths and understand them. Then we're going to walk through how we can experience freedom. Here's the first truth, is that I can be in bondage to sin. I can be in bondage to sin. John 8:34, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Aren't you encouraged? Aren't you glad you're tuning into church today? Come on. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. But we have to acknowledge a reality. Jesus saying, listen, that you can actually be stuck in sin patterns. You can be stuck in a life where you're not experiencing the very best that God has for you. And he doesn't say this to condemn us. He doesn't say this to discourage us. In fact, just the opposite, because he's about to give us some encouraging news that we can be free. But we first, as we'll get to, have to acknowledge a reality. In fact, Paul said in Romans 7:15, "I do not understand what I do." Come on, anybody else, you can relate. You're like, "I don't understand why last night I had a craving for Cheerios and I ate lots of Cheerios last night. No, I'm just kidding. I understand what I do. I don't understand what I wanted for what I want to do. I do not do, but what I hate, I do. I don't understand what I do, he says. Maybe you can relate. Here's the Apostle Paul, this man of God, right? This apostle who planted churches. And he's saying, still, there are things that I do that I wish I didn't do. Come on. There are times I let anger get the best of me and I wish I didn't. There are times that fear cripples me and I wish it didn't. There are times that I fall back and I watch things I shouldn't have watched, or I went to websites I shouldn't have went to, and I responded in ways I shouldn't have responded, and I allowed myself to get offended and I shouldn't have. Paul's saying that I find myself in those situations. We can be in bondage. We can be stuck in sin. Here's the encouraging part, though, is that I can be free from sin. Jesus said in verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Come on, that's the good news. That's the good news. We acknowledge a reality, but the good news, we can be free. And then the third is this, that God's truth sets me free. He says in verse 32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're going to look at some truths out of God's word today that I believe if we put them into practice, that we can experience through the empowerment of God's Spirit, freedom in our life. In fact, we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5. I would encourage you this week, read Galatians chapter 5 in its entirety. We're going to look at several scriptures out of Galatians 5, and I want to start with verse 1. Paul wrote this to the church of Galatia, that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Paul's speaking to a church that was finding themselves bound up in the ways of the law and the ways of self-righteousness. They had fallen into deception, believing that they could somehow achieve righteousness and achieve right standing with God in and of their own efforts, in and of their own morality. And he's reminding them, no, do not become fallen again, becoming slave to the law. Becoming thinking that you yourself can do it all by yourself. That's why he goes on in Galatians 5 to give them instruction, to give them encouragement, to give them inspiration, to let them know how they can walk in freedom. And we're gonna glean some principles for our life today about how we can walk in freedom. And here's the first one I want to share with you. The first truth is that I have to acknowledge that I have sinned and need God's help. You have to acknowledge the reality. You have to acknowledge that area of your life that you know you're not living according to God's best for your life. The word sin in scripture merely means to miss God's mark. It means I know that I'm living below what God has for me. I understand there's areas of my life that God has a better future and plan for me. I'm acknowledging there's some behavioral patterns, some thought patterns. There's some areas of my life that I am missing it. Here's the good news. Romans 8, Paul says this, therefore now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That is good news. Here's what Paul's saying. There's no condemnation. There's no eternal consequence for your sin because of Christ. Listen, because of Christ. Meaning if you put your trust in Jesus as your Savior, if you've surrendered your life to Him, that means, listen, that the law, the penalty of our sins, death, Scripture says, the punishment is death and eternal death. But he says the good news is this, that when you are in Christ and because of Christ, there's no condemnation. Meaning you don't have to pay that penalty, that He has set you free from the eternal consequence of sin. And He is the one who sets you free. And that's good news. That's good news. Because here's the reality. There's a natural propensity in all of us. In fact, I see it even in children, right? Maybe you've seen this in your own kids or other children, that when children do something wrong, there's a propensity that they kind of automatically fear, like I may be punished or I've done something wrong and maybe I should even feel bad about myself and feel bad for what I did. And sometimes they can internalize that, thinking they themselves are bad. And we ourselves as followers of Christ, even as adults, we can think to ourselves, I've even heard people say this, I've messed up too much for God, that I've kind of drifted too far away. I've done some terrible things in my life. Well, here's the good news, friends. His grace is sufficient. His mercies are new every morning. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And that is good news. That's what the author of Hebrews in Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Not timid, not shy, not unsure, saying, I know there's grace for me. I know there's mercy for me. I know he's got peace for me. I know he's going to accept me. I know he loves me. Therefore, I'm going to come boldly. I'm going to come quickly to the throne of grace so I can obtain mercy, find grace in time of need. Listen, when we find ourselves broken, we find ourselves locked in fear, we find ourselves falling back into old sin patterns, we find ourselves making poor decisions, we find ourselves gripped with anger. It's in those moments you may feel like, I can't run to God. But it's in that moment, church, we should run to God because his grace is sufficient. His mercy is new. You will always find grace. You will always find mercy. It never runs out in the presence of God. So can I encourage someone today? Maybe you've had this narrative running in your mind. You've been beating yourself up like, I shouldn't have yelled at my kids like that this week. I shouldn't have looked at those websites this week. I shouldn't have said what I said to my mom this week. I shouldn't have been so gripped with offense this week. Can I encourage you? There is no condemnation. God is not in heaven looking down upon you. His arms are wide open, waiting to embrace you, saying, son and daughter, my grace and my mercy is here for you. Come experience. There is a fullness of joy, the scripture says, in the presence of God. I'm sorry I'm getting fired up, but can I tell you, this is something I believe, church, is so important we get, because we have to acknowledge when we come into the presence of God, we have to acknowledge when we come to him in prayer, when we open up his word, when we tune in and we gather for church. Can I tell you, God is not waiting to condemn you. God is not angry at you. God loves you. His grace, his mercy is waiting for you. It's waiting for you. The grace of God makes up for our apparent gaps. You'll never be good enough. You'll never achieve perfection. Doesn't mean we don't stop aiming for that. But it's also resting in the fact that God's grace makes up the difference. Galatians 5:4, Paul says, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Your attempts to justify yourself, your attempts to get free by yourself, your even attempts of beating up yourself, penalizing yourself for the wrong that you've done, it's actually alienates you from the grace of God and the mercy of God. But when you acknowledge, I need you, God, when you acknowledge, I need you every day, it's always there for us, church. Psalm 32, the psalmist says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away, though my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was zapped in the heat of the summer. But then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. You forgave the guilt of my sin. My bones were wasting away. He says, I was groaning all day long when I was silent. But when I confessed my sin, you forgave me of my guilt, my iniquity. I was free. I found grace and mercy. But it begins with acknowledging. Got to acknowledge, church. What's that area for your life? Today, with God, you got to acknowledge, God, I'm missing the mark here. God, I'm not experiencing your best right here. God, I allowed fear to grip my heart this week. God, I allowed anger to get the best of me this week. God, I gave in again to overspending again this week. God, I allowed insecurity to eat my lunch this week, and then I made some bad decisions. Acknowledge. Whatever that area is for you, acknowledge it. There's no condemnation. There's grace, and there's mercy for you. Here's why I'm encouraging you so much right now. Here's why I'm reminding you of the grace and the nature of God right now, because again, our natural instinct, I have found, is not to ask for help. But the reality is that you need God's help. I was even confronted personally this week. I was remembering how some months ago, I was in an auto parts store, which if you know your boy, I don't know much about auto parts. Come on, somebody. I don't know much about cars at all. But I was in an auto parts store because I needed a new windshield wiper. And there was a part of me, my pride, that I was like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure out which of the windshield wipers are my own. Come on. I'm going to figure out how to install this windshield wiper on my car. But then after repeated attempts, your boy needed some help. So I went behind the counter and I was like, I need help getting a windshield wiper. And also, if you could, you got a moment, help your boy put it on. Don't judge me right now. I sense some judgment. It's okay, though. I love you. I'd acknowledge my help. Listen, I acknowledge I needed help. And we got to acknowledge we need help in that area of our life. Listen, the first step towards freedom is acknowledging that I need God's help. Here's number two. It's now I got to align my life with God's truth. Galatians 5:16, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value, Paul says. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Meaning, circumcision to uncircumcision, he was referring to, again, efforts to justify yourself in and of the law. He's saying they have no value, but listen, faith expressing itself in love. In verse 16, he says, so that I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit's what's contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another, so you are not to do whatever you want. He says, don't gratify the flesh and then walk in the Spirit. I want to speak to two of those areas right now. You know, in verse 9, he actually referred to this whole idea of a little yeast will work through a whole batch of dough. Meaning a little bit of sin can lead to a lot. A little spark can light a fire. Allowing fear to have a little bit of room in your mind can lead to yourself being gripped. Going to that website for maybe just one website can lead to a habitual pattern of addiction. Giving into a little bit of anger for a moment can be destructive in our life. He's saying, listen, holding on to a little bit of offense can leave us in bondage. He's saying a little bit of yeast, if it works through the whole patch of the dough, it can end up taking over. Listen, sin will always take you further than you want to go, and it will cost more than you intended to pay. Always, always. It will always take you further than you ever planned. That's why I'm saying, listen, be mindful. Don't gratify the flesh. In verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ, Jesus has crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. In the book of Romans, he writes to the church at Rome in verse 13, let us walk properly. This is verse 13. As in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy, but put on the Lord Christ Jesus. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Make no provision. Give no room, right? If you're having a problem, maybe being envious of others. Come on, delete a social media app. Make no room, make no provision. Come on. If you're trying to get free of your addiction to Krispy Kreme donuts, come on, somebody. Don't drive by that place when the sign for the donuts being hot are on. You know it's too much. He says, make no room, make no provision, make no allowance. It reminded me some years ago when I was in Uganda, we were over there kind of supporting a local church, a local missions organization. And while we were there, the last day we were there, last night, we actually stayed in a national park, went on a safari, one of the most amazing experiences of my life. And while we were there, that evening, first evening at the safari, I remember I went back to my hotel, my room after dinner, and there was like an 800-pound hippopotamus right outside my door, no joke. I may or may not almost wet myself, probably too much information, but that's reality. I went into my room and I thought to myself, I'm probably not going to open that door anymore. I'm probably going to lock it and deadbolt it because there are some ferocious animals out there and I don't want them to get into my room. Come on, somebody. In fact, we even heard a story while we were there about somebody who left their sliding glass door room unlocked. No lie. And there were some monkeys that actually like opened the sliding glass door, went through all of their stuff, took apart a camera. Like, so I was like, I'm going to keep everything locked up. I mean, I know this hippopotamus could run through the door, but I'm just going to like pray to Jesus doesn't happen. But I was like, man, there's some ferocious animals that they could destroy my life. I'm going to do whatever I can to keep them out of my life. Let's put it for now. Listen, the Bible says the enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he can devour. He wants to devour you. That's why you have to make no provision. For some of you, there are temptations, whether it's to be jealous, whether it's lusting for maybe material possessions. And when you're scrolling on Instagram or social media, or maybe you need to go to certain websites, maybe you watch certain things, you need to make no provision for the flesh. You need to maybe delete some apps. You need to maybe turn off some shows. Maybe you need to not go to certain websites, not spend time with certain people. Listen, make no provision for the flesh. No provision for the flesh. Reminded me some years ago, I remember when I was just starting, like really trying to like lean into eating more of a plant-based kind of a diet. And there was a brief season where I was like for real, like your boy loves ice cream. I'm not going to lie. Like I love ice cream. I mean, who doesn't? If you don't love ice cream, I question your humanity. Side note, we'll move forward. But I told Christina, I remember I was like, listen, I'm not going to bring any ice cream in this house because I want to eat it. And if you bring some home for the kids, don't tell me about it. Come on. Like I was like, I'm about to be too tempted to eat some ice cream. I don't want to do that. Thankfully now I can see ice cream and not be tempted to eat it. However, there was a time where I was like, I don't even want to be around it. Don't even get it near me. Come on. Like that's what Paul's saying. Well, what's that area for you? Maybe there's certain things you watch on television. It evokes anxiety. You need to not watch that. Maybe there's certain things, certain people you talk to, and all of a sudden anger kind of comes over you. Maybe you need to distance yourself from those individuals for a while. Maybe there are some apps that you, when you're scrolling on, that all of a sudden it kind of stirs some lust up inside of you. You need to not go to those apps for a while. I remember years ago when I came to Christ, I was, God rescued me, God saved me, but I was still working out my sanctification, meaning I was still working out my freedom. And one of the areas for me when I came to Christ that I had been in bondage to for a while was the area of sexual sin. And for me, when I began to make a decision to say, I'm going to get free of this, it was putting filters on devices, having a friend pray for me, encourage me, hold me accountable. I also made a decision. There were certain movies that weren't even quote unquote bad movies. They just triggered lust. So I was like, I'm not going to watch certain shows. I'm not going to watch certain movies. Come on, even for a season, I was like, I'm just going to watch TVG. Come on, somebody. Like so much kind of just sexual content out there. And listen, for a little while, it was a little crazy. Some of my friends saw it was a little bit crazy, but can I tell you, it was worth it. Why? Because I started shutting out. Like I'm giving no provision. I'm giving you no room. And some of you got to get a little bit crazy with some stuff. So fear stops having a hold on you. So lust stops having a grip upon you. So envy stops having its hold on you. What's that area for your life? Make those decisions. Make a plan to keep sin out of your life. But then you got to walk in the Spirit. Verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. One of the ways we keep in step with the Spirit is aligning our life with the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says this, though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Paul's talking about a war that we wage, and this war is in our mind. And we don't wage war as the world does. Meaning we don't just use principles as the world, but we use the power of the Word of God. He says that word power is the word dunamis, from which the word dynamite comes from. He says we have the power to blow up these strongholds. That word stronghold means to be locked by deception. You're saying, Jeremy, I'm not locked in by deception. Here's the reality, is that when we find ourselves, when we start exhibiting, let me say it this way. Maybe you grew up in a church. Maybe there was an emphasis on this. Maybe even your perspective kind of prior to this moment, where a lot of times what we can, if we're not careful, is we can focus on the fruit of the problem instead of the root. We can get in the mode of behavior management when God wants to do heart transformation. Meaning that oftentimes when we have areas of sin in our life, whether again, gripped by fear, it's lust, it's jealousy, it's envy, what pride, there's often a root of a lie we believed. There's often a deep-rooted lie, and we try to deal with the fruit, then that root will manifest in different ways if we are not careful. In fact, in Galatians 5, Paul says in verse 19, the acts of flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He says that this is the fruit of the flesh, the fruit of our efforts, ambition, idolatry. So idolatry can be workaholism. Idolatry can be an obsession with material and wealth. He's saying all of these things are the fruit, but there's a root. There's a root he wants to deal with. And here's what it can look like in our life sometimes, that we can focus on roots or fruits and not get free of the fruit. Let me show you an example here with my plant. Is that here's what it can look like. In fact, let me give you context. I remember some years ago, we had moved from a condo where we had no yard into a townhome where there was a flower bed. And I went out. I was excited one Saturday morning. I was like, I'm going to pull these weeds out because there was weeds all over the flower bed. So I was pulling out the weeds. Here's a mistake I made. I didn't pull it out by the root. I pulled off like 3/4 of it. But I left the root because I didn't get deep enough. Literally several weeks later, I come back out. There's more weeds. I'm like, I just pulled those weeds out. And now all of a sudden we're covered in weeds. Why? Because I didn't deal with the root. I didn't pull it out by its root. Therefore, it started bearing other fruit. So here's what it can look like in our lives. For example, I'll share my own life. Right there was when I first came to Christ, I had some compulsions. I had some sinful patterns and behaviors in my life. And I try to just deal with that fruit, which can look like us trying to break it off. I thought this would be easier in this moment, but break it off. And we think, I did it. I'm freedom. Got free of my lust. Got free of this jealousy. I delete that app. I'm getting free. I'm not going. I got a filter on my device. I'm getting free. I put a limit on my credit card. I'm getting free. But here's the problem. That wasn't the problem. That wasn't the real issue. See, that was just the fruit of the root, because now maybe you no longer are overspending and you got a handle on your finances. You cut up your credit cards, but now it's come across as workaholism, right? Now we're like, okay, I'm not gonna answer emails by a certain time. I'm gonna set boundaries at work. I'm gonna leave my computer at work. Well, now we're working from home, so work's everywhere. And we start putting these things in practice, and all of a sudden, again, we get excited and we think to ourselves, man, we're gonna get free, and we take that off, and then all of a sudden that manifests, and all of a sudden we find ourselves gripped by anxiety. And we're wondering, like, it's almost like problem from problem that we feel like we get freedom, but then there's a new issue. And here's what I'm trying to say to you. The problem, the overspend, the lust for things and the jealousy of what others have and the anxiety over your work performance, that it actually all has a common root. And that root may be the lie that might stem from the fact of when your father walked out on you as a young child. It may stem from the fact maybe you didn't feel loved by your mother at home. It may stem from the fact from an early heartbreak that happened in a relationship or a failed marriage. That lie that actually I'm not loved or I'm unlovable or I'm not valuable is the actual root. And until you begin to deal with that, pull it out by its root, you'll be stuck in just picking fruit all the while. Here's the root. That's the problem. That's what God wants to do. He wants you to deal with the root. And the root starts with your mind. Starts with your thoughts. So here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like to use the power, the dunamis of the truth of the word of God, that when you recognize, let's just say that lie is that I'm unlovable or I'm not valuable. So that manifested in your life like you were working for your value. Maybe you made bad relationship decisions because of that lie that led to hurt. And now you're having offense. And you're holding unforgiveness. But it goes back to that lie. Maybe it's manifested in social anxiety in relationships that you're anxious in certain social situations. But it goes back to that lie. So what you have to do, listen here, I'm going to help you out right now. I hope you're leaning in. I hope this is coming across like I wanted to. That when you're finding yourself tempted to lust, let's say after those material things, you're finding yourselves caught again. Even though you know you should stop working, you're trying to push through and you're wondering, why do I have a hard time turning off work? Stop yourself in that moment and say, what thoughts are running through my mind? And you might have to do some deep work. You might have to get your journal out and write it. You might have to call a friend and be like, can I process this? I'm trying to understand why I find myself feeling like a workaholic and I can't turn off. I gotta figure out why fear is gripping my heart and keeping me up. And I gotta find why I can't stop the struggle with lust. I keep, even though I put filters on devices, I get around them and I do things I wish I didn't do. And even though I don't want to, you gotta do the deep work. Sometimes it might even involve getting a therapist. A Christian therapist to help you do some deep work. What I'm telling you, I want you to dig out the root, because when you dig out the root, you don't have any more fruit. And then here's the fruit you begin to have. It's when you begin to plant the truth of the word of God in your life, right? So let's say it's the lie that I'm not loved, I'm not valuable, right? And then all of a sudden you begin to replace that with the truth of Psalms 139, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are you. You are God's workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. You are God's masterpiece. Come on. That God loved you even when you were a sinner. Come on. God sent his son to die on a cross for you. When you begin to put into your heart, get into your spirit, renew in your mind, declare over your life, you stop yourself in the moment. When anxiety and stress rises up, you feel the manifestations in your body. You get the tension headache. All of a sudden, your heart starts racing because of the anxiety. You catch yourself in the moment. You identify the lie. You replace it with the truth over the course of time, which may take months. It may even take years as you go through this process of uprooting the lie. Next thing you'll notice is you'll be finding the fruit of the Spirit's manifested in your life. The fruit of, as verse 22 says, Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Maybe you've been wondering, why don't I feel peace? Because you can't develop the right fruit without the right root. You're wondering, why am I not experiencing self-control? Because you can't have the right fruit without the right root. It's the truth. You gotta get God's truth in your mind. Look up scriptures, even today, about your identity in Christ. How God sees you. How God values you. How God loves you. Begin to declare them over your life. Begin to get them into your spirit. Be aware when you find yourself being tempted to be jealous or envious or lust or greedy or prideful or finding back in those old patterns, and identify the root. Yank it out and replace it with the truth. Align your life, church, with God's truth. And lastly is this, to authentically connect with others. Verse 13, Paul says in Galatians 5, yes, my brothers and sisters, we are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. What's Paul say? Listen, as you're walking in freedom, so you're acknowledging you need him. So you're aligning your life with his truth. You're digging the root out. Come on. Now, turn outwards. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love others. Engage in community. Serve others. Care for others. Focus on others. Because we're not called to simply be, I'm free. Now let me go make the life all about me. No, you have been given freedom by God to serve others in the name of Christ, to love others in the name of Christ. Can I challenge you? A key to lasting and sustained freedom is having authentic connection with other followers of Jesus, like real relationships. There was this British journalist, Johan Hari, did a TED Talk. It went viral. And because he said the whole theme of the TED Talk was that the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection. He began to share research, like from 1981, the Journal of Pharmacology, Biochemistry, and Behavior. And he began to share other research on how they have shown that actually when people engage in authentic, healthy relationships, begin to live a life of purpose, then they have longer levels and have a greater degree of sobriety and freedom from their addiction. And he said the key, we're actually, his whole principle was that we're treating addiction wrong oftentimes. And again, I'm not going to go down that pathway of talking about addiction to chemicals and substances, but I am speaking about freedom. The key, the scripture shows us, the key to lasting freedom, sustained freedom, is connection. That's why we have community groups. That's why we have Faith in Life courses. Listen, you're going to have a ball on the hiking group. You're going to learn so much in your faith and work course. You're going to build some great relationships in the different groups that we have. You're going to learn so much and grow closer to Christ in the Faith in Life course. But I believe the most profound aspect of it is that you will be able to build relationships and live out with James wrote in James 5:16 when he said, therefore, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so you may be healed. Yes, you'll learn. Yes, you'll grow. Yes, you'll have friends. But most importantly, you will be healed. You'll have a deep level of freedom. You'll have a sustained freedom in your life. It's key. You know, recently I saw someone from our church. I was out. And they saw me and they were like, hey, Pastor Jeremy. And we had our masks on. And at first, to be honest, I could not recognize them. Cause you, have you had this moment where you met somebody, you know, out, where you had your mask on and you had a hard time recognizing them cause you couldn't see their whole face. And then they took off their face mask. And I was like, oh, hey, look, now I can see. Right? Listen. In the same way, we oftentimes cannot recognize each other without our masks off. Right? Physically. Listen, you cannot experience freedom unless someone knows you, and someone cannot know you unless you take the mask off. See, we've been wearing physical masks for a year. But listen, for me personally, and some of you, this might be your truth. For years of my life, I wore a mask spiritually. I mean, I would go to church. Come on, I knew how to play the game. I mean, everything's great. I'm blessed. Life's good. But the reality was not everything was good. And the same is true for you. It's because you're human. The reality is I had some struggles. So do you. I had some sin in my life. So do you. Why? Because you're human. Why? Because you're imperfect. And you can't take the mask off with everyone. That'd be inappropriate. But you have to take the mask off with someone. You have to take the mask off somewhere. You have to. I would encourage you, get in a group. Get in a Faith and Life course. Sign up for several. Find the one that's right for you. Build those relationships and have somebody where you can sit down and say, listen, here's what's really going on. And don't just tell them the behavior. Don't just tell them the fruit. Like, man, I struggle with lust. Or I'm struggling with greed. I'm just too focused on money. Or I mean, I can't turn off work. Or may I allow anger to get the best of me? Sometimes I yell at my kids, or I allow it to get the best of me at work, or man, fear is keeping me up at night. Don't just tell them the fruit. Begin to process the root with them. Like, you know, I think I work so hard. I think I can't turn off my work actually because at a young age, I felt like I wasn't worthy. So my whole life, and I've been working try to prove my worth. Begin to process the root with them. That's how you begin to get healed and get whole. And all of a sudden you begin to get strong. You begin to get all of a sudden to walk in God's purpose for your life. I'm telling you, because I've experienced this, church. I'm telling you, you'll begin to see the fruit of the Spirit. You'll begin to see blessings in your relationships. You'll begin to see God bless your work. You'll begin to see God bless your life. Why? Because you are dealing with the root, and you are processing that with others. Why? Because God's created us for community. See, James, one commentary I read said this, that James wrote James 5:16 because he knew that an effective church must be a healed church. Let me put it into your life. For you to walk effectively in God's purpose, you must walk freely. In order for you to walk freely, you need a community. You need others around you. You can pick up the phone and say, hey, man, I'm not doing well. Hey, my thoughts running wild. Hey, I was up all night struck with fear. Hey, I overspent again. I drank too much again last night. And where someone can love you and pray for you and care for you, encourage you. Paul said in Ephesians 5, my last scripture, he says, you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. There are some of you, you have struggles, fears, anxieties, sin, thought patterns, behavioral tendencies, bad habits that no one knows about. You haven't told anybody. Can I just encourage you? God has set you free to live in the light, to walk in the light. Can I tell you, you will accomplish more of the purpose God has for you when you walk in the light. Just recently, we were out as a family. We were picking up food somewhere at a restaurant. And on the way back to the car with my son, Judah, I was like, Judah, let's race to the car. We both had our masks on, and I was running. Now, number one, your boy doesn't run too much, okay? I do try to here once in a while. I do work out consistently. I work out my house, so I don't ever put a mask on because I'm working out in our garage. And so I ran with a mask on. Which I hadn't really done anything like exerting effort with a mask on. And when I got to the car, literally I was like out of breath, huffing and puffing. I took off my mask. I could take a deep breath, like. And I was thinking about that. I thought to myself, but if we're not careful, we can be attempting to become free with our mask on. And we're wondering why we're tired. We're wondering why we're exhausted. You need to catch your breath. You got to take the mask off. Can I lovingly just encourage you? Listen, some of you, you know this message. You're living this message out. You're already signed up for your group. You're hosting a group. But there are some of you that you've wondered, I don't know if I'm going to do a group. I've never joined a group before. What are these faith and life courses? I've never done that before. Can I just lovingly say this? Listen, encourage you. Join one. Join three. Find the one for you. Take off the mask, find freedom, restore freedom, experience what God has for you this year. I believe that 2021 can be your most free year yet. Therefore, it can become your best year yet. Let's restore freedom by acknowledging that we've sinned. We need God's help. And God, I need you in my life. His grace and his mercy is sufficient. Align your life with his truth. Come on. Make a plan to keep sin out. Then dig up the root of those lies. Come on, don't just do fruit management. Uproot. Plant the truth of the word of God about who you are. Then begin to authentically connect with others. Begin to take off the mask. Experience freedom. Walk in the purpose. Experience the best that God has for you. Let's pray, Father. We just thank you. You're so good to us. God, help us to walk in freedom in a greater degree this year. God, we know there's more freedom you have for us. There's more purpose you have for us. There's a greater difference you want us to make. God, help us to experience the best you have for us. Take the steps. Speak to each person to take the steps they need to take today. Maybe it's sign up for a group, sign up for a course. Maybe it's acknowledging before you, I need your help, God. It's beginning to do some, asking some deep questions, doing the deep work of uprooting some lies. God, help us to walk in freedom. Help us to experience sustained
freedom in the context of community so we can all walk in our purpose, so we can all make a greater difference in Jesus' name. Hey, if you're tuning in, you have yet to surrender your life to Jesus. Listen, he's got eternal life for you in heaven and a freedom here on earth to say, Jesus, I trust you and I surrender my life to you, and we'll help you take next steps to follow him. If that's you, maybe you once did, but you've grown distant from God and you know you need to recommit your life to him, I want you to pray this prayer with me right where you are. Just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for going to the cross and giving your life for me. I believe you rose again. I confess you're Lord of my life. I repent of my sin and I turn towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.